Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to continue in our current studies the remarkable threes in the Scriptures. We have already considered the Godhead as a Trinity. That's the most remarkable three of all. And then we think of mankind as a Trinity. Today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider three time zones of the grace of God. And of course, we're considering past, present, and future. Then we will take up the three attributes of man, three stages of spiritual growth, and three of the Christian's enemies, threefold enemy. Okay, now let's look at the book of Titus, the epistle of Paul to Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 to 13, and then this title, Three Time Zones of the Grace of God, will take on sense. We read there in verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared," past tense, "to all men." When did it appear? At the cross. Of course, when Christ died for our sins. All right, present. "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Who is teaching us? The grace of God is the antecedent. See how the sentences go together? "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Now in the future, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, of the great God and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. That is not exactly the King James Version reading of it. All right. Now let's think of it, if you will, please. Of the past. Why did Christ die on that cross? Well, to save us from the penalty of sins. And now, presently, Christ is engaged to save us from the power of sins as our great high priest on the throne of God and praying for us. And his Spirit is helping us also in the matter of our power over sin. And the future, of course, is to save us from the very presence of sin. We will not be completely saved until the Lord comes and we receive our resurrection bodies from the Spirit of God Himself. Now let's think about this, if you will. The grace of God brought us salvation through Christ's death for us. There is that wonderful verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." When was He rich? Well, He was rich in glory. He wasn't rich in this world. He didn't own a single square foot of this world, the world that He created. He didn't own a single square foot of it. He had no home of His own. He lived with His mother after His father passed away. And then He was invited to the homes of other people. He was never rich in this world, who though He was rich, but He left those riches behind, and for our sakes He became poor. But He became poor, and His poor, the poorness of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was poorest, perhaps I should say it that way, at the cross, when He made that orphan cry, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You know, it seems to me that if we have a friend at all, a good friend, we're never poor. But our Lord Jesus Christ, who was in eternal fellowship with His Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but as what thou wilt." He was willing to do the Father's will, and He anticipated this cross that He was going to face by sweating blood and sweating great drops of blood falling down the ground. I presume that it was because of the high blood pressure that ruptured the minute veins near the surface, and they combine with his sweat. Think of that poverty which he suffered when he couldn't even call on his father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then, of course, we, through his poverty, are made rich. When are we made rich? We're made rich the moment that we accept Christ as our Savior, believing that he died for us on that cross, believing that he settled all the claims of God against us. He answered to the holiness of God, and in regard to our sin, our Lord Jesus Christ on that cross suffered and died for you and for me. Then he was indeed, we through his poverty were to become rich. Now everything that Christ has, he's sharing with us in the future time. We're his bride. A groom shares his riches with his bride. And those who are saved today are the bride of Christ, the church. And we are indeed as rich as he. He has shared those riches with us. Now, let's consider the present, if you will, please. He is now living at the right hand of God to save us from the power of sin. Sin has a power. It has a cruel advantage of us. We have a sinful nature. Satan saw to it that we got that in the Garden of Eden through our parents, Adam and Eve. But you and I now are under the power. We feel that power, the sin that drags at us. The Christian is not sinless. He is not sinless at all. But he should sin less, certainly. But the Christian has the means, if he does sin, that he confesses those sins of the Father who is faithful and just and forgives us our sins according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, how wonderful it is to have our sins forgiven. And he is now living at the right hand of God as our great high priest to help us out. We read that in the fourth chapter of Hebrews. And we are encouraged to go to that throne of grace to find help in time of need. When we're sinning, we can just tell the Lord, Lord, this is too much for me. And we can go to that throne of grace in time of help and call upon him. And he's there to answer our call. We read in Galatians 2:20 the words of our Apostle Paul. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's his appreciation of Christ's death. But now we read, the love of Christ now motivates us. And that motivation is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. We read there, for the love of Christ constraineth us. And that word constraineth us is a very strong word. We strain, it has the word strain in it. The love of Christ causes us to strain, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live for themselves, but unto them which died for us, for them, unto him that died for them and rose again. I'm going to read that verse again. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. This is similar to second chapter of Titus, chapter 2, verse 12, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, the here and the now. And the Lord Jesus is helping us. The Holy Spirit is helping us. We read in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now here the Spirit of God is inside of us. He dwells inside of us. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Paul prays that they will be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What is that power? It's the Holy Spirit. That's the power that works in us, and that's the power that helps us get something done for God. I think of the grace of God in this present time expressed so eloquently here in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 13, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. All right, let's go to the future. Christ is coming to rapture his church into heaven to save us from the presence of sin. Sin is very much present in our lives now. We don't like it. And the time is coming when we're going to get rid of this old sinful nature, and he's going to save us from the very presence of sin. I made a statement once that startled my audience. I told them, I'm only two-thirds saved. I'm going to be saved from the presence of sin in a future day. We read in 1 Peter 1 and 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What grace? It's the grace of God that is to be brought unto us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When is he revealed? When he comes for his saints. And that grace is going to be ours, yours and mine. What is it? I don't know. It's going to be a surprise. It's the grace that is brought unto us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We haven't explored the end of the grace of God, beloved in the Lord. We have not reached the end of the grace of God, and we'll never reach it. In that coming day, we shall be exploring the riches of the grace of God for all eternity. How blessed to think that we are going to be saved from the presence of sin. That new body is a part of that grace. That glorious body that is fashioned like the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to be part of the grace, I suppose. We're not told. But that isn't all. Grace will preserve us. It will accompany us. It will fill us throughout the countless ages of eternity, past, present, and future. We have the remarkable time zones of the grace of God. It will never cease. Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for the grace of God that saved us, that keeps us, and is coming for us. We thank you in his dear name. Amen.